When the Lord gave me this message, I thought it was a one Sunday morning message. And this will possibly, I don't want to make any statements, it might possibly be the conclusion. But the good news this morning is that when there has been an injury, that there is a place of healing in the Lord. And I'd like us to begin in the 30th chapter of Jeremiah with the 17th verse. Jeremiah 30:17 said, "For I will restore health to thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord, because they called thee an outcast, saying, This is Zion, whom no man seeketh after." So contextually, the writer is speaking to Israel and Judah who had been taken into captivity. Were going to be in captivity because of their own disobedience to God. But yet with the punishment and with the circumstances of their own doing, the prophet was letting them know there's going to come a place of healing and restoration. So even when we have been injured, whether it is by someone else or maybe it was our own doing, I've had a spiritual accident, I am thankful that it is still so that the Lord is restoring health. And he said, "I will heal thee of thy wounds." And that goes right along with what Jesus told us in the 4th chapter of Luke when he said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." And he went on and it had to do with healing, binding up, restoring. And the Lord wants in places where you may have been injured. In the last 2 weeks, we've looked at causes of injuries. We've looked at symptoms of injuries, dangers of injuries. But there is a place of healing we would like to address this morning by the help of the Lord. There is something about pain that always feels like it needs more answers. If you've been injured deeply, and again, understand the preface of this message is not people that just wear their feelings on their sleeves. Just, I get hurt here and a hurt there. I'm speaking of true, real injuries that affect us deeply. There are no words that are adequate to bring healing in a moment. If you have ever shared your burden, you shared some of your injury with someone, expecting that they're going to have the right words, it's just going to heal it. It generally doesn't happen that way. We can encourage one another in the Lord, and we can strengthen one another, and we can pray for one another. But normally, my words are not going to bring healing instantly to the injuries in your life. Just like yours won't with mine. And so there's something about healing that takes time. And we're going to address that. But healing is not usually a product. Healing is a process. Healing is a process. It takes time. So when someone has been injured, if you've been out working or had an accident and had a physical injury, what is one of the first things you want to do if you've got a wound, an open wound? Maybe it's bleeding. What do you want to do first? What? You want to clean it, right? You want to stop the bleeding, and then you want to clean the wound out. You want to cleanse it. So how is it then that when we have been injured, maybe ourselves or maybe someone else, it might be as extreme as an abusive situation, or it might be something, it may be a betrayal of a relationship. It might be a word spoken and injustices that were done. Not just a casual word, but something that deeply wounded and hurt. One of the first things that we need to do is to cleanse the wound. So how do we do that? How do we cleanse a wound, emotional wound? One of the first things we need to do in cleansing the wound, purifying it so infection doesn't set in, if it was a result or a consequence of our behavior, we need to repent. Because our own sin causes great injury, does it not? And so one of the first things we need to do is to turn away from what was causing that injury so it doesn't repeat itself. And to repent, and repentance is not just saying, I'm sorry. It is a deep sorrow, but it's a deep sorrow that causes us to turn our back on it and not to go back to it. Otherwise, there'll never be healing. And something I found even in failure, maybe you say, but it's not sin. But in spiritual failure, we've got to recognize and acknowledge the injury. And if we do not find a place of true repentance before the Lord, it is much easier to fall back into that same failure again. Have y'all found that to be true? Because if we don't confront the injury itself, I'm not talking about the people involved, but if we don't confront the injury and cleanse that wound, we're going to find that it's easier to go back to that, and it's going to reoccur over and over. So we need to acknowledge it. Healing begins with honesty. It begins with honesty. And a lot of times I think people don't find spiritual healing and emotional healing because they're not yet willing to deal honestly with themselves or with the situations that cause the injury. So I want to encourage us this morning, if you're struggling with a deep-seated injury, it might be from things that have affected to a large extent your perspectives of life, it's going to start by dealing with that very honestly and openly before the Lord. And we also want to acknowledge that we need God's help. We don't want to live, while we may be injured, we don't want to live in it. And I want to explain it this way. There are a lot of people that have been deeply injured in life, and they become a victim to their injury. They become a victim. Everything that touches them, it's because I was injured. And they expect everyone else to adjust because I have been injured. And they see everyone through the lenses, or the glasses, if you will, of what someone else did to me and I was injured. And so then they live as a victim. I have seen people that have the same things happen, even in grief and in serious, horrible things, injuries that were caused. I've seen people overcome it, and they still had some scars, and they might have had a limp, but they were not living as a victim. Because they were willing to acknowledge, I have a need, but I also acknowledge that we have a God this morning. We have a God that can bind up. We have a God that can allow me, yes, while I'm hurting, that I don't have to live as a victim. We had, I think, about two older sisters. I'm just going to be really specific because this is many years ago. There were two widows that were in our congregation when I was a child. We had more than that, but these two particular ladies, one of them would get up and testify and talk about how the Lord had been her companion. And how the Lord had been there to help her in times of need. And the Lord had been faithful to her after her husband died. Did it mean that she didn't grieve? Of course she grieved. We're talking about years later, okay? And she had been through hard things, but she was acknowledging God has been there to help me. And then we had another widow. I might have said widow. We had another widow that would, well, I'll just say it like it was, saint. She complained. She was a complainer and a murmurer, and she would get up and just, this the problem with this and that, and how, and she had not found the reality of God helping me in my need. Grief is real. Injury is real. Wounds are real. But when we don't have to live as victims to them. Do they affect us at the moment? Yes. If you break your leg, you're not going to go walking, right? You can't walk. My leg's broken. I can't move. But there comes a time as that begins to bind up. There comes a time that through the pain, you have to start exercising yourself in that injury so that I don't live having to sit in the chair my whole life, if at all possible. So we have to find this morning the reality of the Lord Jesus, who came not only to save us, but he came to minister to the emotional needs that we have. And when we have been wounded, and I have a few really deep ones in my life, as I'm sure most of you that have lived for any time period. There comes, and again, there's a few. If you have a big, big list, maybe you're the problem. But when you have it, when you have these few things that have deeply hurt and were deeply wronged, what do you do with them? Do I have to live as a victim to those? No, because of God. Yes, it still hurts. There may be places of tenderness, and I've got scars, but the Lord came to cleanse the wound if we would allow him. And we need to, as the scripture says, bring every thought into what? Obedience to Christ. Bring it into subjection to the Lord. In other words, when the thoughts come of what, if someone has injured me, and every time I see them, something comes and it just makes it afresh, that's very normal. That's very normal. But when it happens, how am I going to respond? I can't help the thoughts that come to my mind, but I can help by the grace of God what I do with them. So the thought comes to my mind. Every time I see that person, this thought comes to my mind, and I relive the injury. I want to bring those thoughts in subjection to the Lord. Lord, I need healing here. And I find that Jesus' instruction was really good when he said, pray for your enemies and those that have despitefully used you. When you pray for people that have injured you, you start having a vested positive interest in their life. So I don't just see them as the one that injured me. I see them as someone I have been praying, yes, for my healing, but I've been praying, Lord, to bless their life. And I love them. And so when contrary thoughts come, Lord, help me to bring this in subjection to you. I want to bring this into obedience, Lord. This is captivating my mind, and Lord, I want to give this to you. Help me, Lord. And that's why healing many times is more than one trip to the altar. That's important. It starts. It starts by coming to the Lord, but there is a process that we have to keep bringing this to the Lord. And Lord, I want healing. I desire this. And we have to allow ourselves to be helped. Some were talking right before service. Some people like to live, well, we used to say in the molly grubs. But there are people that like to live discouraged and down and hurt. That's their comfort zone. That's their comfort zone. Do you know what they did to me? When did they do that? 20 years ago. There's healing. There's healing. There's a place that the wound doesn't have to stay open and fresh. Clean it out by truth, by honesty, by the Lord. And it can begin to heal. And maybe there's a scar. But if everybody I see, I point out my scars, I am just resurrecting the injury in my mind. Well, we want to allow ourselves to be helped. You remember the story of the Good Samaritan? He was beaten, left for dead, and there came along a man, the Good Samaritan, that was there to help bind up his wounds. He poured oil in them. Did he not? He poured oil, and what is oil? Was it not a disinfectant? Promote healing. And he poured oil, and he bound up his wounds, and he was there to care. What would you think if the man had enough energy to look up at that Good Samaritan and said, I'm trusting the Lord. Don't help me. My faith is in God. Don't help me. Don't bind up my wounds. What would you think? Who sent the Good Samaritan? the Lord did, didn't he? The Lord uses people, folks. Let's not confuse trust in the Lord with abstaining from anything in life that can ever help us in situations. Trust in the Lord is, Lord, I need your help. I'm hurting and I need you to do something and my faith is in you. But if the Lord sends a good Samaritan to help me in my need, then I don't want to see that as, well, that's not God. No, the Lord helped the good Samaritan to come my way to help me. So that means that we need to be open. We don't need to bleed out and go out in the corner and die. But you realize it takes being vulnerable to allow someone in. Don't expect someone to have all the answers, but they can be there to help bear your burden. They can be there to pray with you, and that promotes the healing process. If you internalize everything, sometimes it starts coming out in inappropriate ways because you've shoved it in and shoved it down and pushed it down and internalized it until it creates greater injury and brings infection. Vulnerable, and I would say for those that come to a place that they feel like they have no hope left, that has brought someone to be even having suicidal thoughts. My life just is not, it's not worth going on, and it would just be easier if I weren't even here. Do you know that for people that feel they need to know we love them? And I would say we love you. We love them. We don't have the words to solve every problem. But for those that are struggling, it takes vulnerability to even acknowledge I'm really struggling in my mind. You know, I feel like that life just isn't worth it. And I don't want to be one of those people that says, oh, it's going to be fine. Just buck up. You know, buck up. It's fine. Just there are people that really struggle. And sometimes people find injuries so deep, they want an escape. And they start feeling like the only escape is to end their life. Those things are real. And we love everyone. And we care. And sometimes just that knowledge, don't try to solve someone that's struggling with suicide, don't try to solve all their problems. They know it's not going to work that way, but they need to know that you love them. They need to know that you do care and that there are other avenues and there are other solutions. And taking one's life is not the answer, as much as it might feel like it at the moment. But we don't ever try to make someone feel like that they're not spiritual or they're just being ridiculous to struggle with those things. Those struggles can be very real. But there's a place in the Lord that he can bring healing. And while the day may look very dark, there are people that love you and care about you. And sometimes it takes being vulnerable to say, I just need someone to be here. I need someone to listen. I need to know that someone cares. And we could all look on and say, well, of course, they know we love them. We don't want the of courses. They just need to hear, I love you. I care. One of the things that's going to bring about healing in times of injury is, and this is paramount, and that is forgiveness. If someone has hurt you deeply, if someone has betrayed you, done you an injustice, done you very wrong, healing will only come about through forgiveness as well. For others and for yourself. If you have done something and you caused your own injury through sin, through disobedience, through failure, it hurts. It affected you. It's difficult to forgive. It's easier to forgive others sometimes than as yourself. Because you can't run away from yourself. I mean, it is what it is. And I did it, and it brings shame. You may be embarrassed. You wish you could undo it, and you can't. But here's, if we do not forgive ourselves, again, it is easier to fall back into that same situation. Does everyone understand that? if we do not forgive ourselves of our sin, our failures, and our mistakes, and we're not willing to find a place of release in the Lord, it doesn't mean we act like it didn't happen, okay? We want to remember it happened enough not to do it again. But it takes forgiveness, a letting go and turning over to the Lord to be able to move forward. As Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind. He had put people to death. He had put saints in prison. If that was ever before him, how could he ever effectively minister? So he had to find a place to say, I wish I could undo it, but Lord, I can't change the past, and I'm sorry, I won't do it again, and Lord, I give it to you, and I have been renewed by the Spirit of the Lord. We have to find a place of forgiveness, or else when you find yourself under stress, when you find yourself overburdened with things of life that everybody faces, it will be easier to fall back and repeat the same thing that caused that spiritual injury. So we want to heal and move forward. So it takes forgiveness. Forgiveness of ourselves. And it also takes forgiveness of those that have done wrong. It's amazing to me to see people that have been greatly abused and betrayed, and see the Lord help them forgive to move forward in their life. That's healing. And forgiveness, I have found, and I know the Lord told us forgive, but I have also found that forgiveness also sometimes, to an extent, is a process. Forgiveness is not just an emotion, okay? Emotions come and go. But forgiveness is a decision. Lord, I give this to you. I forgive. I release the hurt. I release what they did to me. Yes, I may still be hurting, and I have emotions associated, but I forgive the person that did it. And I remember one time someone had done a great hurt to someone very close to me, and I thought I had forgiven them, and I think I had, but I still remember praying. I was like, Lord, I want to be sure I have forgiven. I want to be sure there's nothing inside of me that's holding back. And I remember the Lord, I still remember, it was like I could feel it physically. I really could. It was like I could feel just the presence of the Lord come down from the top of my head and just flow through my body. And I was like, thank you, God. I knew all had been forgiven. God will help us with that. When we're struggling, how can I let this go? Do you choose to, or do you choose to hold on to the hurt? As long as we choose to hold on to unforgiveness for the person that's hurt us, we will never find healing in our injuries. It takes forgiveness. And I know it can be a struggle, but the Lord came to help us to do that. He came to help us to forgive others. And I will also say, whether it's hurts in family, congregations, between brothers and sisters, husbands and wives. You know, this something about forgiveness. It doesn't mean that you're always going to understand 100% why they did what they did or what happened, okay? Brother Gary and I were talking before service, and my academic background is mathematics and philosophy, and so I like things to be very logical. And if I don't understand why someone did something, or what, I like to know the logic of what progressed, and to every action there's cause and there's a motive. And so you can start analyzing things. And sometimes, you know what I found? You're never going to be satisfied. Never going to be satisfied. So forgiveness means I don't understand why they did what they did. I don't understand why they said what they did, but I'm going to lay it down and move forward for the cause of relationship. Now that takes place. You want to have a healthy marriage, you have to learn to do that. Does anybody that's been married for any length of time here, do you 100% always understand why your companion does or says what they do? If there is, you ought to be up here instead of me. 100% of the time, it doesn't happen. because we're different people. It doesn't mean they're wrong and I'm not, or I'm wrong and they're not. It means we're different. So then, if there are issues in a relationship that kind of start causing some hurts, think beyond for the cause of relationship. To forgive means I'm going to lay down, and it means I'm going to lay it down without being 100% satisfied in my mind that I've got it all figured out. I'm going to have to lay that down and say, we're going to start a new day, a fresh moment by the help of the Lord, even acknowledging I don't understand why they did it, but I love them and I want relationship. With children and their parents and siblings and in congregations, it takes this kind of forgiveness to be able to move forward for meaningful relationships and for healing, even when I don't understand. How could they do that? I'd like to know how people can do what they do. But I realize that sometimes I have to say, I don't get it, but I still love them and I still want relationships. So you have to lay it down and move forward for the sake of relationship. And something else that is going to take important to injury, and I know this has been woven, interwoven through the last 3 weeks, but healing takes time. Bruises fade slowly. Strength returns gradually. And when something starts to heal, there's still tenderness, right? Okay, we've got the bleeding stopped. We've cleansed it. But healing takes time. Jesus wants to heal us this morning. Isn't that wonderful? He wants to heal us. He wants to heal us. Life's wounds, injuries of the heart. Again, we're going to be left with some scars, sometimes some limps. But we don't need to let our injuries define our lives, because God is bigger than our injuries. So here's what I would, as we conclude, some purposes that when we're injured. Wonder if there's anyone this morning that will be willing to take the journey of healing. Do you want to be healed? Or do you want to stay injured? You know it's up to you. You can stay and live in your injury, and it'll be here next year, and the next year, and you'll never progress. Or will you say, I want to start this journey, and I'm going to acknowledge then that I need the Lord's help. I can't do it by myself. I need the Lord's help. Let's have a heart for healing this morning. Let's have a desire to get better. Some people are comfortable and get used to just being sick. We need to have a desire this morning to get better. And as we do, let's not isolate. Let's not isolate ourselves. Let's not go to our corner. But let's let God help us, because God wants. If you don't get anything else out of the message this morning, okay? God wants for there to be healing and restoration and recovery. Now, let me add this, because I didn't say it earlier. Forgiveness by itself does not always bring about reconciliation of relationships. Okay? It didn't with God. God made provision for our forgiveness, but the restoration of the relationship took us choosing as well to want relationship. But when it comes to interpersonal relationships, we will never have reconciliation until we have forgiven. There will never be reconciliation until there's forgiveness. So forgiveness, if there is someone that every time I see them, they hit me across the face, I can never be reconciled to that person until I've forgiven them, right? Even if they don't say they're sorry. But do you realize I have to find a place of forgiveness, because I don't want to live as a victim to their behaviors. I want to overcome that. However, it doesn't mean that this person and I are going to be bosom buddies, because they're still hitting me. So there's going to have to be some changes on their side for there to be true reconciliation of behavior. And yet, on my side, for there to ever be a possibility to be reconciled, to someone that has injured us, I've got to come to a place of forgiveness. Okay? So let's keep in mind there's a difference between forgiveness and true reconciliation of relationship. So are we willing to let God help us? I'm going to relate as we conclude the last verse. In the book of Mark, in the first chapter, in the 40th verse, there came a leper to Jesus, beseeching him. He was a leper, unclean. And he knelt down and said, "If thou wilt, if you will," he said, "you can make me clean." And Jesus was moved with compassion and said unto him, "I will. Be thou clean." And it said, as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and was cleansed. That story teaches us this is where it starts. Lord, I've got a need. I've been injured. Maybe I've been living there for years, but Lord, I have an injury. It might be fresh. It might be infected. There's all kinds of conditions, but Lord, I acknowledge I have a problem, and I'm going to come to you. The Lord wants to get all of us, if we need healing, he wants to get us on the journey. There are some things the Lord does instant, miraculous things like he did for that leper. But many times, it is the beginning of the process. I want to get better. Do you want to get better this morning? Bring it to the Lord. Bring it to the Lord and acknowledge the need. And when we have been touched by the Lord, something's going to change. Sometimes it's instant, miraculous healing. But more often than not, when I come with the emotional needs that life brings, he touches me and something changes and I start a journey that through time I get better and better and better. That's God's will for your life this morning. So let's stand and have a song. If there's anyone here that would like to take a step on the journey of healing, it's going to come by saying, "Lord, I need help, and I'm going to come to you," and the Lord will begin to work and lead you that you can live a prosperous, blessed life in spite of the injuries that life brings. Amen. We might stand.